Amen. Let's listen to some scripture passages. Some of them have been read to with Ray and Willie during the time of their struggle. Psalm 23, a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yes, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Excuse me. Psalm 31, in you, O Lord, I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in your righteousness. Bow down your ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be my rock of refuge, a fortress of defense to save me. In your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord, God of truth. Psalm 73, some of the last verses. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold me by my right hand. You will guide me with your counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is none upon earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. John 14, the first few verses, and then verse 23, which will be my text. John 14, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me, Jesus says to his disciples. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. One of his disciples, Thomas, then asked him, how do we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way, the life, and the truth. No one comes to the Father except through me. Later on in the chapter, after Jesus has been speaking to them about the way, Jesus answered and said to them, if anyone loves me, verse 23, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Thus far. Especially that last phrase I want to focus on. We will make our home with him. In that verse 23, Willie, family and friends, in the last 2 years or so, Ray Rulofson has suffered greatly, and you with him. It has been a very severe trial, Willie. Regarding Ray's health, and that became a very difficult thing to bear. It was a dark cloud, I would say. But won't you agree that there was something of a silver lining that God gave. And, you know, when you see a cloud with a silver lining, that means there's a big light behind it. And God is the sun behind it all. Throughout those 2 years, during the many visits that I was privileged to make with him at the home and in the hospital, it soon became evident that the Lord was planning to use this trial to draw Ray closer, and most significantly, I believe, to open him up. We didn't really know much about what was inside there. Sometimes we can believe something's going on, but we sure would like to see them open up. And a few weeks ago, I think it all kind of came to somewhat of a climate. It sort of wrapped up when the doctors managed to get that feeding tube that was causing some struggle in his stomach redirected and situated so that it settled better, and there was a prospect of him going home. And he said to me, you were there, I'm so looking forward to going home to Willie, but also going home to him. And he said that with such firmness and conviction. I kind of want to use that as a tie-in here to what Jesus is saying here about making a home with us. In John 14, Jesus says, "Let not your heart be troubled." What welcomed words those are in times like these. I mean, we're seeing troubles that we've never seen before. This is so unprecedented. And you sometimes wonder, what's God using these troubles for? In fact, I'm kind of excited, wondering, what is God doing? Well, he sure is at work. And all of us have some kind of troubles. And Jesus comes together to these disciples who have just heard from him that he has to go through suffering and then he has to leave. That hurts. When you know already at the beginning of your suffering, as Ray knew, that ultimately, very likely, the Lord's going to take you. Can't you understand that the disciples were troubled about that? That was very troubling. And so Jesus tells them the solution, the ultimate solution for our troubles. You believe in God, believe also in me. Jesus has a very special place in God's plan. And he calls himself the way to the Father, the way home. Let's think about at home with the Lord. And like ministers always do, they have 3 points, okay? So here we can call these points drawn home, back home, and at home. At home with the Lord. Drawn home by the Word. Back home to the Father. And at home through His Son. Drawn home. I want to first say something about not feeling at home. I've noticed sometimes when you're talking to someone who's sort of on the edge of church life that they complain, you know, I don't really feel at home. At home. What does that mean? I mean, you can have a new house, right? But it takes some time with all the family around you and things get warmed up and then you feel finally at home. And you can be in church or you can attend a service and not feel at home. Even if you're welcomed, I hope we are welcoming people. Some people think I'm pretty scary, but when I get inside the house, it sort of melts, you know. The greatest thing is to be at home with the Lord, isn't it? Well, take the parable of the prodigal son. Actually, there were two sons. We could say this is a parable that should be entitled not the parable of the prodigal son, but the focus is rather on the father, isn't it? The loving father of two lost sons. One looked very far away and one was closer. You might say, the one was a runaway son and the other one was a son who was home but not really feeling at home in his father's house. Well, we know all about the prodigal son. He went away and you know what it was that really brought him back home? It says he was there in that pig pen, you know. He really spent everything that his father gave him, that portion of the inheritance, and he had really run out. No more party friends, fair weather friends we call them. What was it that brought him home? What was it that made him come to his senses and turn around? Well, he tells us that he remembered the great love of his father. It's really his father's love, and thinking about his father's love, who was even loving to the servants in the household, that drew him back home. And on his way, maybe he was thinking about some bargaining with Dad, make me a servant in the field, I'll work a lot. But Father, nothing on that. Unconditional love, great reception, let's have a party. And Jesus was saying, you know, that's how my father is. He's willing to have runaway sons come back home. The other son was at home and he was really slaving in the, that's his own words actually. I'm slaving for you, Dad. And I've been home. I never had a party, you know, that kind of complaint. And well, son, your brother came home. He was dead and he's alive. Come on, join us. He did not go in because he really did not feel at home in that gathering that so spoke about his father's love. Real tender love, because the father came out and compelled him, won't you come in and join us? The tender love a father has to all his children. And Jesus was talking about those religious critics. You know, the ones who said, this Jesus, he eats with publicans and sinners. Well, they complained, but I find it good news, don't you? Jesus welcomes anyone back home. And so you see, there are those in church who are runaway and they leave. They go away. Oh, how we long to have them back. And there are those who are at home and they really don't feel at home in church and under the services, and oh, we'd really love to have them come right in, right up here when we celebrate the love of the Father. But they, for some reason, don't feel at home. And so, as Jesus speaks to his disciples in this particular passage, he tells them, I am the way. In some way, we all want to feel at home. We want to come home truly, spiritually. And Jesus says, I am the way. And he recommends that they believe in him and that they love him. In the first verses, he emphasizes believing in him. And in our text, if anyone loves me, because faith and love go together, you see. If we trust someone, we love them. If we love them, we trust them. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, he says. Keeping is an interesting word as we trace it and study it. You know, what it means is not as such perfectly obeying all the Ten Commandments. We sometimes hear about keeping the command. What it means actually is hanging on to those directives of the Father and cherishing. So keeping my word means hanging on to my word. Think of Mary, the mother of Jesus, as she heard the words of the angels that came when Jesus was born. And then the words of the shepherds, and then the words of the wise men. And it seems that Luke really got a lot of the words that he wrote in the Gospel of Luke from Mary, especially that first part, because we read Mary kept all these things, especially these words, and pondered them in her heart. Like she's taking all those words and wrapping them in a bundle and holding them as gently and dearly and sweetly as a mother holds a newborn baby. She must have been thinking of those words as she was holding the Word of God incarnate. Words are means, and they're the fruit of faith and love. That's a bit confusing. How words, the Word of God is a means of faith, and cherishing the Word of God is a fruit of love. Words. The ladies really value words, don't they? Amen? Yep. That's a good example, by the way, because if you want to nurture a relationship before you're married or nurture a relationship after you're married, there's one thing that women tend to go back to. Let's just talk. And men tend not to be so good at that. Well, two reasons for that. Words nurture a relationship, and words are the fruit of relationships. Words build trust in one another, and words nurture love for one another. Jesus said to his disciples, "I have called you my friends." What a privilege to have Jesus call you a friend. And how does he explain that? "For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known to you." And because Jesus wanted to nurture their trust in him, even especially as they're going to go through this severe trial of his own suffering, he needed them to trust him that he is going to rise the third day. And they were so sad because they didn't have. So he kept speaking his words, and his words came back to them later and nurtured their trust in him so that it was a firm assurance later. Secondly, words, communication is the fruit of a growing relationship of faith and love. Both faith and love seek more understanding of the object of love. Some have defined theology as faith seeking understanding. Some people don't like doctrine so much, but really, let's put it this way. If you love the Lord, you want to study his words, because his words will build up your love for him. And in fact, his words are the evidence of his love for you. And if you love someone, you want to know more about them. You want to grow in the knowledge of them. So, men, there's the secret. That's why she's asking for more words. It's love. "And if you love me," Jesus says, "if you love me, then you will keep, you will cherish, you will hold on, you'll find it precious." And friends, Willie, I think that's really something that grew in Ray. And as we spoke to him and as we shared the word with him, he grew more and more in his love for the word. And he told me, "I'm reading this, I'm reading that." And so it was a wonderful thing to see how more and more he was loving the Word of God and what was happening. He was opening up more and more about his love for the Lord. So that's drawn home to the Lord. And so in that way, Jesus says, you come back. You come back home, secondly, to the Father. And loving the Word, we grow in our belief in Jesus. We grow in our love for Jesus. And why is that important? Well, you see, when Adam and Eve were sent out of the Garden of Eden, then the gate of communication, of fellowship with God in paradise was shut. The angels were guarding it. But Jesus came. And Jesus says, I'm the way. I'm the way back home. Back home to my Father. How did he pay for that? Because it was a cost. He was expelled from his Father's house. I mean, literally on earth, when the priesthood threw Jesus out of Jerusalem, when they hung him on the cross, they were saying, you are expelled from God's house. You're excommunicated. They had their motives, but the Father was actually doing that to his Son. And we could tell that by what he said on the cross as he's agonizing in the garden. First, his soul is so exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. And then he goes to the cross and he is especially in that dark, when that dark cloud went over or whatever it was, the sun stopped shining. It's like he was expelled from his Father's house and he couldn't even say, my Father. He cried out, my God. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? He even lost the consciousness of why it was. He even lost the comfort of the big plan. Why hast thou forsaken me? And hanging on to his words, as he's suffering that, we know why. It was the cost of the way back home. He suffered the punishment we deserve. And because, why is believing in him so important? Because by believing in him, we're joined to him. By believing in him, the effect of his blood washes our sin away. By believing in him and loving him, the robe of his righteousness covers our unrighteousness. And the Father looks at us and sees us as the reflection of his own Son and welcomes us. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son so that whoever believes in him should not perish everlastingly in that expelled, excommunicated place called hell. But he wants sinners to come back home. John 8, verse 42, he said, if God were your Father, you would love me. You see, because loving Jesus is the token and assurance that you're on your way back home. In the way, in Jesus, you are in the way back home. And so in verse 21 of this chapter, he says, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father. What a miracle it is to gradually feel more and more at home with God. And friend, if you have not yet felt at home in the household of God among the Lord's people and under the hearing of the words of this Lord who is the way, if you have not felt at home yet, friend, we want to invite you to come back. Come home. Can we not convince you? Can we not, like the Father went out and urged that stubborn, high-minded son, his elder son, won't you please come in and join us? Join us in celebrating this amazing grace that saves wretches like us. And to experience the real tender love that the Father has for these children who have been alienated far away or alienated while it looks like their home, we would want to say, in the Father's name, come in. Come out of the cold. And don't stay there, but come in where Jesus is. Well, you say, where is Jesus in that parable of the lost? Well, we know that he's there in the parable of the lost sheep because he's the shepherd who's going out and finding that sheep and bringing the sheep home and carrying it tenderly home. He's the one who does this rescue mission, you see. That's why he came out of his Father's house in heaven down to this earth and down to hell. Because he's saving, seeking and saving the lost. Where's he in the parable about the sons? He's the one telling the story. It's his word. And don't you just love that word of the Father when you see him embracing his son, welcoming him back, and compelling his other son to come in? That's a beautiful story, and Jesus is saying, that's what my Father's like. He's not a harsh, cruel tyrant. But that's why he sent me, Jesus is saying. Because I'm the way back to the Father. If you love, if you believe in and love the Lord Jesus, you will feel more and more, thirdly, at home through Jesus. What a glorious promise Jesus gives here. And my Father will love him, and we will come and make our home with him. I find these some of the most glorious words. I mean, in the beginning we read God saying, let us make man in our image. The triune God speaking in that perfect communion of his intertrinitarian fellowship. And this is just a beautiful statement here when Jesus is saying, my Father and I, and essentially he's saying, and the Holy Spirit will all come and we will be in perfect fellowship with you. Two ways that happens. First of all, in this life and then in the life to come. In this life, well, John 14, verse 17, Jesus said, and the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, which because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, he says to his disciples, for he dwells with you. You say, how does the Spirit dwell with them? He's in Jesus. He's with Jesus. He's upon Jesus. He's around Jesus. And so, disciples, he's with you. The Holy Spirit is with you, but there's something better. He will be in you. Jesus comes through his Spirit and makes our heart his home. Then we're really at home with the one in whose name we are baptized, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He comes and makes his home in our heart. And then you'll feel so wonderfully at home with him when his word is preached. You'll see, feel so wonderfully at home when his glory is praised in song. Then you'll feel so wonderfully at home in the formal worship and even in fellowship afterward. I'm at home among the Lord's people as they're reflecting on the sermon or talking about what the Lord's doing in their life. It will feel so much at home. And if you have not yet come home, then I may invite you, come home through Jesus. On that resurrection day when these two men so sad went on their way back home, they thought that was going to be a pretty sad house they're going to. Because they were going home to their house thinking Jesus is dead and gone. We thought he was going to be the Redeemer and Savior. And this man talks with them on the way. And he starts warming their hearts up. How? By his word. And they were feeling very much at home, whoever this was, and they said, abide with us because the evening is coming, the darkness is coming. Stay with us, spend the evening with us. And so they fellowshipped with him, and he started breaking bread for them. This is sometimes a courteous thing. Let the guest be a bit the host. And so they did that, and they discovered it was Jesus. That's why our hearts were being warmed by His Word. That's why we were feeling so much at home. Have you ever met a believer way out in, like, for instance, in Korea, I've been there a few times, or in Guatemala, and you meet a believer, or you just hear them singing God's praises in their language, even if you can't, but you feel at home with them. Well, they felt at home through Jesus. Ray, I think, was experiencing that kind of thing. More and more, he felt at home. I mean, my eyes were almost bugging out when I saw Ray after his surgery with the people outside sharing and not in his car. I'm saying, Ray is feeling so much at home with us now. This is wonderful. And soon he was talking about going home. So much at peace with that. And so that's the second sense in which, through Jesus, we come to feel at home. And that is that perfect home. Well, you know, we have brothers and sisters here, but they're not perfect. We have dads here, but they're not perfect dads. And, you know, there are all kinds of things that we say. Well, you know, there are a lot of things that might make me not feel at home, even in my own family. I mean, some of them. But if we talk about the Lord, we feel at home if we love Him. If we love the Father and we love the Son, then even talking about death. Jesus says, in my Father's house are many mansions. And he's not just talking about some huge, big, cold stone castle. I mean, it didn't sound too good to me. If that would be the case, okay, I'm getting my castle way over there, you know, 100,000 miles away, and then someone else. No, what he's saying is there's dwelling places, literally places where we can all live together. And he says, if I'm going to prepare that place, I'm coming back again, and I will receive you unto myself, that you may be, that where I am, you may be also. And that sounds more like home, doesn't it? With Jesus and with all of those brothers and sisters in the Lord who love him and singing his praises. That's what he prepared for Ray, too. And more, he was longing for that. It must have felt like you were being torn apart when you hear him say that. Come home with me, Ray. Yes, Willie says. Come home with me, but that other part, that hurts. But it's a bit of a silver lining in this cloud, I think. Because he spoke about that with such assurance and even admitted in the last night that the devil's touching him, poking him. But he said, he's not going to get me because Jesus is going to hold on to me. Yes, indeed, in the power of Christ, we stand. And when we're there, that will really be sweet communion, sweet fellowship with the Lord at home forever. All the glory to the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious God, we do pray that rich comfort of being drawn by the word of the gospel, that comfort of knowing that through Jesus and his great suffering, we've been reconciled to the Father. And that comfort of knowing that when we have to leave this life, because we feel so much at home with the Lord's people and with His Word and with His fellowship and with His singing and getting something of a foretaste in our formal worship services of being in fellowship in heaven, that we would also be able to say, I'm looking forward to going and being at home with the Lord through Jesus.